2 Peter chapter 3. It goes 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So you can start Revelation, go backwards.
It's after Psalms.
Yeah, if you start in Psalms, keep going there. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 17 and 18 out loud together. And we'll pause at any punctuation that's present. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And let's begin. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much, Lord, just for the idea that you love us. And Lord, I thank you for the message this morning for that. But Lord, would you continue to guide us now? I ask you to be with our pastor. And Lord, help us to learn from your word. Help our hearts to be open, our ears to be attentive. And Lord, would you keep the distractions away and continue to guide your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Man, I'm going to get situated up here as best I can. And then we'll get started. Hang on, I got to get the parking brake. There we go. All right, sorry about that. Takes 10 times as long to do half of what I did before. You and I both hear a lot of people talk about the end of the world. Whether it be spiritual people or lost people, it matters not. We talk about the end of the world. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Did you know that God never intended there to be an end of the world? God made everything and he made it to survive for eternity. God made the earth, God made people, God made everything on the earth to last forever. Death is foreign to earth. I've watched hundreds of people take their last breath here. There's a struggle at death. Can I tell you why? Because God made this body to live forever. He made it to live forever. Death was not supposed to come on our body. That's why the fight is so hard. Because God made it to live forever. Sometimes you're thinking, how in the world does that person just stay alive? How does the heart keep pumping? But it does, because God made this body to live forever. He made the earth to survive forever. So God never intended there to be, but sin brings death. Now, listen to me very carefully. Sin has brought death not just to everything on earth. God cursed the earth as well. If you went back to Genesis chapter 3, we're not going to turn there right now, you find out that God cursed the devil, God cursed man, God cursed woman, and God cursed the earth.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, wait a minute. That means sin is affecting the actual earth itself.
That's right.
I believe the earth could be far more productive than it is, and it's very productive. But it could be that much more productive had man not sinned. Now, so God actually cursed the earth due to our sin. Now, I'm going to say a few things here, and I'm planning to be very pointed. Unsaved people, especially educated ones, will make fun of God. They make fun of the Bible. They make fun of living the Christian life. They're more for worshiping man and man's mind and this earth than a God. Man thinks he can reason away and be his own God. And by the way, that was the original lie of the devil. Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Eve, you could be like God. You could know good and evil yourself. You could choose to be your own God. You don't need to listen to God. You could be as gods. Oh, By the way, we live in a whole world of people that think they're God. Especially the Democrats that just lost. You see, that was the original lie from the devil. After 7,000 years of history, and 5,500 years ago, there was a flood that destroyed the earth by water, man still thinks this way. Man still thinks, well, I think it, therefore that's what it is. Now, God warns us not to be led away by these self-proclaimed professionals. These self-proclaimed educated idiots. They can shame people into thinking they're unintelligent. Do you ever notice how liberals have to shame everybody into thinking what they want? They can't give you a positive thing. They can just give you the negative of their enemy. They can tell you what they think their enemy thinks about them, but they've never asked the enemy. Everybody doing all right? Oh, Trump hates women. Did you ever ask Trump that? No, he doesn't hate them. He's got several daughters and daughter-in-laws. He works with thousands of them. Now, you have to understand something. Just because somebody says it doesn't mean it's true. Here we go. Nothing can be farther from the truth. The humanist is the one headed directly to hell, not us. The humanist is the one that's wrong, not us. My Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Preach.
By the way, you don't have to teach a child to lie. They do it very naturally. We come forth of the womb lying. By the way, you say, well, I didn't. Yes, you did. The fact that you said you didn't lie, you just lied. We lie too naturally. And by the way, we lie to ourselves more than anybody. God tells us, and I want you to look at 2 Peter again, chapter 3, verse 17. He therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. He said, before you get led away by these people making fun of you for being stupid, how about you remember where you came from? How about you remember the truth? And he says, this is how you can keep from falling from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, everybody look at me for a second. There's a bunch of religious people out there, and I use that term very loosely, but they think that somebody like me that believes only in the King James Bible, believes in salvation by grace through faith, believes that the Bible is the Word of God, every word of it's God's words and not man's words, and that I preach it that way, that I'm unintelligent. Just because I don't say the word God like God, just because I'm not going to exegete the scriptures, and we're not going to have sermons. The expository preaching. I almost said suppository, and I shouldn't do that. That's the only word I could think of because it's all plugged up. But we're going to go deep into the Word of God. They wouldn't know the Word of God if it smacked them upside the head. Well, they talk very intelligently, preacher. Yeah, but they're pretty stupid. God said these are the words of life, not the words of the mind. Good preaching teaches people how to live, not just how to think. If you know how to live, you'll learn how to think. So, God says we're to grow to keep from falling. Now, I want you to notice something here. But grow in grace. The word grow there in the Greek, it literally means to grow like a tree. Now, let me give you a little botany study here. A tree grows until it dies. You plant a tree, it'll grow until the day it dies. It never stops growing. When it stops growing, it's dead. You may not always see the growth, but a tree grows every year. That's why, and it's very true, you can cut a tree down. If you could count all the rings, you could tell how long that tree's been there. Some years it's bigger, some years it's very small. Some years it's gotten taller, some years it's gotten wider, kind of like people. Some years it's been plentiful, some years it hasn't. But grow and grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God says as a Christian, to keep from falling away, you have to grow. Let me go a little farther. Just, have you ever noticed, and by the way, people are not animals.
Amen.
People are not part of the mammals. We're humans, not mammals.
Amen.
You didn't come from a monkey, you're not an animal.
Right.
But did you know that virtually every animal, when it's born, can walk and move? Very few do not, if any. Say why? Because they become food. You watch an old cow birth, buddy. She'll drop a calf and that thing will hit the old ground. Kapwap! She'll go over and lick it off and get it nurtured and get that thing coughing and spitting and sputtering and get it up on its feet. And within minutes, it's up on its feet suckling. I watched a giraffe be born one time, and you talk about a long fall. And about 12, 15 foot fall, whoosh, boom. I thought, oh man, that's a rough way to start life. Now, wait a minute. But you take a human being. That puppy can be born, and it takes time for it to grow before it can walk. Do you know an infant is not built to be able to walk? Its bones are not put back together the right way. It has to have time to grow and to lock into place. Even if an infant could walk, it could not because it's not biologically possible. It has to grow into being able to walk. Now watch this. God says we're to grow in the Lord. I've been on a campaign here, so hang on. We live in an instant society where everything wants everything at the push of a button. We've all used Amazon, but we live in an Amazon and deliver my groceries and deliver my food mentality. We live in a world of push a button or type a little sentence in and push a button or, hey Siri, and all over the room. And all of a sudden we have all the information we think to what we want. Whatever happened to going to the library looking through about 16 books till you found the answer? Research. Now you accept whatever flips on your screen as truth. Everybody doing all right? We live in this world of we want what we want, and we want it right now as soon as we want it. Now, this is where we're going to split the wheat and the tares, amen? Children don't need to be teenagers or adults. Adults don't need to be kids or teenagers. They need to grow into things. We have a society that doesn't want to take time to wait for anything. Did you hear what I just said? We have a society that does not want to wait for anything. And God says, grow. Do you know if you plant an apple tree this year, you're not going to have apples next year? It takes 3 to 5 years minimum, depending on what size tree you plant. In some cases, 10 years. Then its major production will only last for you about 10 or 12 years, and then you cut the tree down and start all over again. So, well, it'll still give out, yeah, but it won't produce like it should after so many years. You see, we're supposed to grow like a tree. They say that a tree has a root system as wide as its branches. You look at a big giant oak that's 36 inches across on its base, and its reach goes out 100 feet. Guess what? As wide as those branches go, there are roots down there. That's why pine trees fall over all the time. Did you ever see a big pine tree fall over and it's got a little root ball about the size of my pulpit? Because the pine tree is not very wide. They have a very small root base because they don't have wide branches. And the roots go down, out, and it's very shallow. The mighty oak can take the big winds. The pine tree is going to fall over first. Say why? Because the root system isn't nearly as large. And as wide, you can go home, go through your neighborhood, look at a tree, and as wide as those branches are, underneath that tree, there's just as much as there is on top. That's why you can't plant trees too closely together. Because the root systems will cross and they'll weaken each other and they'll be fighting for the food. They'll kill each other off. Now, let's look at our Christian growth to see what God says to keep us from falling. May I say something as a preacher that's been preaching an awfully long time? Hard to believe coming up on 45 years. Shut up. Can I tell you something? I get weary of watching people come to church and they do well for a while and all of a sudden they're out. Trying something else. They'll go from here to there, try something else. Go from here to there, try something else. Say, what happened? They never grew. They fell. They fell from their own steadfastness because they got tired of being made fun of. You know, people can say, I'm not real intelligent. I don't give a flip. I know what God said. That's all I need to know. And I don't want to be like some of the educated people I've met. I'm not interested in being like some of these stupid lawyers. Not one back there. But I'm talking about the ones in D.C., not when he's there on Tuesdays. I'm getting deeper and deeper on this one, aren't I? Too late. I went tithe for this week. No. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I get a little tired of people making fun. Well, did you get an education from a government-sponsored institution? Was it accredited? Let me ask you a question. Do you think Lou Gehrig was accredited by the Little League to play sports? What do I need people that can't even teach kids to read by third grade how to tell me to run a school? Right. Say, preacher, is your school ever going to be accredited over my stinking dead body? I don't need the government to come in and tell us how to run a school. I can teach a kid to read in kindergarten. Our kids will be running circles around their kids in third grade. And they do. Can I tell you why? Because I don't need them to accredit me to tell me how to educate somebody. They can't even teach seniors how to read and write. There's so much I want to say right there. I'm going to stop or I'm going to get off the sermon here. It's working up in me, all right? Let me just, don't start that. Number one, growth does not happen by the same amount or in the same way year by year. Let me make that statement again. Growth does not happen in the same amount or in the same way year by year. Okay, everybody look at me. I believe that you ought to read your Bible every day. I believe we ought to pray every day. I believe we ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church as much as we possibly can. Amen. But can I tell you something? If you didn't read three chapters more this year than you did last year, you're not going to the boogeyman. I know preachers say if you didn't read your Bible more and pray more this year, that you're backslidden. They're an idiot. They're stupid. Everybody doing okay? Preacher, I can't believe you said that. No, that's not what doing more means. That's not what growth is. Let me show you what I mean. Do you know that when a baby is born, let's say it's born at 7 pounds. Do you know in the first year that baby doubles, almost triples in weight? By the end of the first year, that baby should weigh 14, 15 pounds. I did a little math. A 7 pound baby, if it doubled its weight every year, by the time it's 8 years old, would weigh over 3,500 pounds. Can you imagine how big you would be at 70? Hundreds of thousands of pounds. Aren't you glad we don't grow the same way all the time? Amen. Now think through that for a second. You couldn't walk by the age of two. Your body would be so heavy after the age of two, you couldn't do it. You'd go from 7 to 14, 14 to 28, 28 to 56, and by the time you got to 3 or 4, you're up to 90, 100 pounds. Imagine a 3-year-old weighing 90 pounds. Shoot, my son Jeff, it came in at 9 pounds. Start doing the math on that one. I had a niece that came in, how old? Brittany was almost 13 pounds. Shoot, she was 2 years old by that standard when she started. You know, at the age of two, she'd have been almost 60 pounds. We got 10-year-olds who don't weigh that much. Aren't you glad we don't grow the same rate, the same way, every year? You see, our bodies don't grow at the same rate every year. By the way, you could plant a field of corn. Did you know that every stalk doesn't grow at the same rate as every other stalk? It's impossible. Some get more shade, some get more sun, some get more water, some are closer to the rocks, some have better ground than others. Some have deer that eat them down to the ground, and the farmers want us to come shoot them, amen? You have to understand something. Not everything grows at the same rate. There are so many different factors involved in it. Not every year is as conducive for growth as other years. You know, this year was a hard year for growth. It was dry. If you didn't get your crops in just at the right time, farmers are hurting. You had to get them in just at the right time, or if they didn't mature right, they dried out and shriveled up and died. I watched farm after farm plow over plants that they had planted because they got it in late. They had to start all over. Say why? They were just within a week of being late, but it destroyed their whole crop. Now, not all plants grow at the same time. Did you know you don't grow corn at the same time you grow wheat? They're getting ready to pick corn. They've already planted winter wheat. You're not going to plant corn right now and have corn next year. You'll have dead corn laying in the ground, but you won't have corn. We can't expect every person to grow as we have. Christian, can I tell you something? Quit comparing everybody else to your journey. Everybody else's journey is different. Quit judging everybody as you being the standard. You know, I'm not the standard. Brother Anthony is not the standard. Brother Barnes is not the standard. Brother Randy's not the standard. This is the standard. Not all of us entered the growth rate at the same place. Some of y'all didn't get saved till being an adult. I got saved as a kid. I ought to know more at my age than you do. Some of you didn't get saved till you are my age or older. It's okay. But grow. Amen. Grow in the Lord. Did you know when a farmer, out the farm I hunt, when they harvest a field, let's say they did corn, they'll tell you how many bushel per acre they got, not how many stalks, not how many ears of corn. It's how many bushel per acre. They don't tell you how many per stalk. They're not doing it individually. They're doing the whole field. They combine wheat. They'll tell you how many bushel per acre they got. See, what is that? They'll take the whole field, bring it in, say this many acres, here's how many bushels came in, divide it out and say, per acre, this is how well we did. Not every plant in that acre or on all those acres produced exactly the same, but as a whole, this is what the average was. Can I tell you something? Christians, how about we have as much sense as a farmer does? Let's quit judging everybody by us. Everybody doing okay? How about we concentrate on our growth and not worry about everybody else's? If we just grow, we'd be able to help everybody else. So, number one, growth does not happen by the same amount or in the same area year by year. Number two, I'm going to pull from something from Brother Hiles here. I'll mention it. You can't rush or skip stages in growth. You can't rush or skip stages in growth. Brother Hiles used to have a chapter in one of his books, preach a sermon, "Don't Rush the Washing Machine." Do you know if you're in a hurry to do your laundry and you put it on, turn the dial on that thing, start washing, it fills up. If you skip all the cycles and just go to the spin, you didn't get clean clothes. There's too many people that want to run through life and skip all the cycles to get to the end. Everybody doing okay? No, you got to have the filling cycle, you got to have the agitation, and you got to have the spin, and then you got to have the rinse, and then you got to squeeze them out again, and then you got to fill them back up and do it again, and then you got to put some more and get the water out, and then you got to clean them again. You got to go through all the different cycles so that everything gets as clean as it's supposed to be. What's different in a person's life then? Why do we want to skip stages? By the way, just because you liked a certain stage doesn't mean you stop and go back to that stage. You know, too many people want to, I missed that stage and I want to go back. Oh, no. You got to keep going. Once it's over, it keeps going. That's why it has a timer on there. You know, there's a time to be an adult, but it's not when you're 5 years old. I believe there's things everybody ought to keep in front of them to keep them going in life. My wife and I took our trip to Hawaii this year. You know, we waited 35 years to do it. Could we have done it before? Probably, but we chose not to. We wanted something to look forward to. By the way, we planned this before we got married. Number one, we couldn't afford it when we first got married, but that neither said nor done. We weren't going to do it too early because we really felt like we ought to have something to look forward to when the kids weren't at home and it's just us. Don't have to worry about the kids and everything else. We can just go and have a good time. Guess what? We went, had a good time for about 10, 11 days. You see, there's things that a child wants to do, but it's for the teenagers to do, so the child shouldn't do it. See, but that's hard. Oh, well, welcome to life. There's things a teenager wants to do. When they're 12, they get this itch that they think they could drive, but they shouldn't be doing it. By 14, they really think they should be doing it, and they shouldn't. Now, I'm not saying some didn't, but we still shouldn't have done so. Amen? Yeah, shouldn't and didn't is two different things. Amen? Can I tell you something? People need something to look forward to. You listen to me very carefully here. There's things I may or may not let the children do. There's things I may or may not let the teenagers do. And I'll tell you why, because I've been at this a long time. I've watched people grow up in church and get burned out by the time they're an adult and say, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to let you get burned out. I've counseled youth pastor after youth pastor after youth pastor. They'll have 2, 3, 4 kids with them, and they want to take their kids to all the youth activities. They said, nope, find a babysitter. What do you mean, preacher? Because your kids don't need to grow up doing teen activities and have nothing to look forward to the rest of their life. And by the way, you can't be a good youth pastor while you're being a parent of little kids at the same time. Because teenagers are harder to watch than little ones. They get in more trouble. They're more subtle while you got your head turned. Trust me. Been through that one too many times. You got your kids with you, your attention not on them teenagers. Everybody doing okay? I'm preaching truth here, whether you like it or not. I'm helping us enjoy and grow in every stage. Now, right before you change stages is the worst time. You want it so bad. Good. Once you get it, enjoy it. But don't get it too early. Everybody doing okay? Don't try to combine stages. Schools used to have elementary school, then you had junior high, then you had high school. Now we have elementary school, intermediate school, middle school, junior high, high school. Good night. We're trying to get kids to be something they're not long before they're ready to be it. Let's let a kid be a kid. Don't rush through life. Young people, listen to me. Life will not pass you by. Now, it passes quickly. But it's going real slow for you now. The older you get, the faster it passes. Good grief. But you ought to have set goals to have things to look forward to in life. There ought to be things in your life that you look forward to doing. Somebody once said it this way, and I love it. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. Then let's teach our kids to run the marathon and quit making them sprint. When you're on mile 5, you don't start sprinting in the marathon. Everybody doing okay? Don't drag your kids into your lap of the race. I'm hanging on here. You'll go get mad at me in a second. I get upset at parents that want to relive their childhood through their kids, forcing them into sports or forcing them into this or forcing them into that. And they want their kid to do better at it than they did, and their kid may not want to do it. But they're afraid of you, so they'll do it anyway. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I don't want my children to run my race. I'm glad my oldest is in the ministry. I really am. But my son that's in the Air Force, I'm just as proud of. Did you hear what I just said? He's not in the ministry? No, I'm not even sure he went to church today. But I'm still proud of him. Everybody doing okay?
No.
All right, hang in there. I'm proud of my daughter and son-in-law. They're doing a great job. They really are. I told my daughter this week, and I've told this to Michael many a time. I love that boy as much as if he grew up in my own house and was my own son. He's a fine young man. I'm as proud of him as I am if he was my own son. Same thing about my daughter-in-law. She's heard me say that. Can I tell you why? I'm letting them live their life. I don't have a preset plan of what they should be doing in their life. They answer to God for it. I don't. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Don't try to relive your life through your family. I love my dad. My dad is the greatest mechanical mind of any human being I've ever met. There's not a thing he can't fix, and if he can't, nobody can fix it. God said it broke at that point. He's a builder of wood. He's a mechanic. He's a machine. I mean, he can do it all. Something skipped in those genes. I didn't get it. Now, he and I can talk about it and the engineering of it, no problem. Don't give me the tools or the machinery. Amen, Pops? I could build a doghouse that a dog won't even walk into. And ain't no lie, I did. My kids laughed and laughed and I got it here, I ain't got it there. It just leaves. Amen? Say, why? Because God said either you're going to make your living preaching or you're going to starve to death, son. I don't try to relive. My dad never tried to relive his mechanical ability through me. Now, he taught me a lot of things, but sometimes it still just doesn't come out that way. Follow the growth process. Let me give you what that growth process is. Plant, die, sprout, grow, bloom, fruit, and harvest. Plant, die, sprout, grow, bloom, fruit, harvest. Except a corn of wheat fall in the earth and die, it abideth alone, the Bible says. You plant a seed, it has to die. In the death, it brings a sprout of a resurrection. And that's exactly what God says. It takes the heat and the warmth and the nutrition of the dirt to break that seed down, to pop it open to where it can sprout, but it has to die. It has to rot so that it can come alive. Now watch this. Don't forget, not every seed grows the same way. It's not going to be identical. So, number one, I said that growth does not happen by the same amount or in the same area year by year. Number two, you cannot rush or skip stages of growth. You know, you can't plant something and it sprout and grow and you harvest in the same week. You can't skip stages. Well, I was late. I couldn't get it in till late, so we'll just skip a few stages of growth this year. Wrong answer. Number three, and I'll finish. If you don't keep growing, you start dying. If you don't keep growing, you start dying. A tree grows as long as it's alive. You don't always see its growth, but you will see its death. To you senior citizens, keep growing. I love watching our senior citizens come to church and they're going to Sunday school and they're learning. Say, what is that? They're still growing. I hear people, precious senior citizens in our church. Preacher, never heard that before. Man, I needed that. Preacher, thank you. What is that? They're still growing. Christians who quit growing start getting bitter and quit producing. Because when you quit growing, you start dying. When you start dying, you start getting bitter and rotten. When you start getting rotten, you start getting nasty. Did you ever reach into a bag of apples or a bag of potatoes? You're getting down towards the bottom, and especially potatoes. You reach into that bag, and all of a sudden in your fingers, it goes, and you go, ooh. And it's really bad because I can't smell. So I can't even smell it in the bag. But you reach down in there and all of a sudden something's real gooey in your fingers. And it's like, that ain't supposed to be. We got mashed taters and they hadn't been cooked. Ugh. And there's nothing like a mushy potato like that. It's just, those are great to pick up and throw at your brother. I mean, just remember they throw them back too. And then when it gets in your mouth, it gets real exciting. Now, wait a minute. God says that's what a Christian becomes when they start stopping to grow. I always am cautious when I start people starting to back away from church. You can see it in their face. There's a look. Yes, that's right. And then they start talking negative outside of church about church. They get bitter. Can I tell you why? They quit growing. They think they know it all. Then they find out they don't know it all and they're too proud to come back. Can I tell you something? Doors are open. Come on back. Nobody's going to make fun of you. We'll help you. I don't care what kind of mistake you made. I was up in Maine recently. Brother Steve, some of you men, you'll love this especially. The state of Maine used to be one of the biggest producing states of big deer in America. Now you can't even hardly find a deer up there. And Brother Chris bought 60 acres about north, about an hour and a half north of where he's at. He said, would you walk my ground with me and show me what's wrong, why I can't get deer in? I said, sure. And I've been up there hunting before. There's a big national refuge up in the northwest part of Maine. It's millions and millions and millions of acres. I was up there bird hunting a few years ago, and I mean this, they're in a process. It's about a 20-year process. They have to literally cut down virtually every tree in those millions of acres. Because Maine quit logging about 50 years ago. And there's millions of acres with trees that are 60 foot tall and about as big around as your arm. And you can't walk between them. You cannot walk through the woods. It's so thick. Nothing of substantial size other than birds can live there. And they have to go through and clear cut hundreds of acres at a time and replant trees farther apart. And they're doing this through millions of acres just to be able to get some wildlife back. As I walked through his property, he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Too many trees." He said, "Well, I'm going to have somebody come up and log the hardwood for me, and it's going to pay for about half of his property that he just bought." I said, "Well, how much?" He said, "Well, they're going to take 70%. I said, "Take 80, 85. He said, "Well, they'll do whatever I want." I said, "If they'll do whatever you want, have them cut all, everything, almost everything down." And I would cut it and leave 50 or 100 wide yard strips, the whole width of your property, every 50 yards. He said, "What for?" I said, "I'll tell you. Then in those pastures that you just have them clean them out, root it up, everything else, you walk through the woods." Okay, Brother Steve, I walked 65 acres on his property and another 30 on the neighbor's property and never got hit by a thistle or a thorn once. There's nothing growing down on the ground. Nothing. The canopy is so thick, nothing can grow on the ground. Nothing. The only thing that grows is trees. And I said, "The problem is you got too many trees." I said, "You need to almost clear cut your land and in those 50 yard strips, start planting foods and biologics for animals to come. Put your apple trees and pear trees up here. Put your plant alfalfa, plant different kinds of orchard grasses and different things, and plant different kinds of things that'll attract wildlife and hold them on your property, not just let them cross through. Everywhere you go, you hardly ever see anything because all the trees are so big." I was talking to one of the guys. He said, "Yeah," he said, "I think the problem is all the logging we had." I said, "Yeah, it is, because when you had the logging, you had animals." He's about my age. He said, "You know, nobody's ever put it to us that way." I said, "When did you quit seeing deer?" "About 10, 15 years after they quit logging." He said, "You know what, Pastor? My family owns some property up over here. It used to be a swamp." He said, "Now it's all covered in cypress trees and there's no more swamp." I said, "There's no more deer, is there?" He said, "Nope." He said, "You might be onto something." I said, "I know I am." There is so much wood up there that needs harvested to bring the animals back. The trouble is the canopy is so thick, nothing can grow down low and there's no food down here. Can I tell you something? Be careful that you don't get the top growth so big that nothing can grow underneath. The more you grow, the stronger you'll be, and the less likely to be moved you will become. Did you hear what I said? The more you grow, the stronger you will be, and less likely to be led away by all the foolishness of this world. Let's never reach the point where we think we know it all. Can I tell you something? I'm still growing as your pastor. I grow every day. I grow spiritually. I have to grow to keep up with you growing. I never want to get to the point where I think I know it all. By the way, I know me, I won't get there. But maybe we ought to grow to keep us from falling. Let's be like the oak and not the pine tree. Let's not just shoot down a few little roots and when the big winds come, we fall over. Let's let that canopy grow out. Let those branches reach out. Let's prune them so they'll grow that way so that the root system will go. Let's do that with our children. Let's not rush. Let's give it time to grow and let's see what God can do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Maybe a new way to look at growth, but it's God's way. Growth isn't just more in one area. Growth isn't just as you grow. There's many areas in which to grow. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.